Welcome to Boozy Books and Movies, where we have a themed alcoholic beverage and discuss books and then how they compare to their movie or TV show counterparts.
Disclaimer, we are explicit, we talk about alcohol, we cover sensitive topics, and best of all, you do not have to read the books or have watched the show or movie to enjoy this podcast. Welcome or welcome back to Boozy Books and Movies. My name is Melina.
And my name is Colton.
Have I forgotten how to do this? Maybe. We released an episode last week that we had recorded a while back. So even though to you it doesn't seem like we took a break, we did. So, I mean, obviously we've taken a break. We haven't released an episode in about a year. So, yeah, let's get into it. What do we want to do? Alcohol or synopsis first?
Synopsis.
Synopsis? Okay. So, last week we finished up the story with, like, Lil and the book and the old lady and lots of race discussion between elves, and both elves and humans think, like, they're the superior one, basically, and they do not want to cohabitate, so the elves were, like, pushed off into the mountains, and were starving because they didn't know how to, like, farm and stuff, so they were working with the Sylvan or the devil to learn how to be able to get food and stuff, so they were trying to, they just ran away at the end, because Lil was, like, came up and had, like, a silent conversation with them, and they were just like, cool, peace.
Bye.
And that was the end. And yes, I think we talked about how, like, anticlimactic, like,
yeah,
the ending was to that story, which, I mean, makes sense. Not everything he does is going to have some huge dramatic finish.
Yeah.
So I kind of like that there was this story in there that wasn't, like,
yeah,
not everyone had, not a lot of bloodshed happened there at the end.
Right. Yep.
Right, so this week we're starting with The Voice of Reason again, the next chapter.
But first, alcohol.
Yes.
So if you want to see the beautiful concoction that Melina has made, you can go onto our Instagram, which is Boozy Books and Movies.
Yes.
Yeah. So what I have in front of me is it's in a shot glass. It's a darker liquid. Looks kind of, I don't know, looks milky, but I'm going to take this sniff. Smells like something.
Something.
I'm not quite sure. All right, thank it. Man, is there chocolate in that? I don't think so.
There isn't.
I don't know. I keep thinking Kahlua, but, oh, is Kahlua in there? Mm-hmm. Nice, there I'm doing good, okay.
There's one other ingredient.
Oh, there's only two ingredients?
Yep.
I don't know. I'm not sure.
It is orange juice.
Okay.
Which seems like a really weird combination.
Yep.
Coffee and orange juice.
It didn't taste like that, though.
This is what it's supposed to taste like.
I was going to say, that's what I was thinking. Is it kind of smelled like a Tootsie Roll?
Yes.
Yeah. So you got just 100,000 Tootsie Rolls in your pockets? Nice.
These are all the ones I took the picture with.
Yeah.
And I just put them in my pockets.
Right. Yeah. So if you want to see this, Boozy Books Movies.
So I want to eat a Tootsie Roll and then take another shot and see if it seems like...
Yes. That makes sense.
So let me pour another round.
Sounds good.
I even had them in my pockets because they were like hard because they were cold. That's why I had them in my pockets, too, because I was trying to warm them up. It's been a while since I've had a Tootsie Roll. Right. I can kind of see it. It's not spot on.
No, I can see it, yeah.
But I can see it. Which is the weirdest flavor combination. Coffee, liquor, orange juice. Two things which I feel like should never go together.
I think it's good.
Yeah, that's pretty good. Okay.
All right. Boozy done. Time to book. You got some talking to do, so.
I know.
And you just put a Tootsie Roll in your mouth.
Shoot. Yeah, I feel like we need to have a chewing warning on this episode. I don't know how much you can hear of us just chomping on these Tootsie Rolls. Alright, so we're on Chapter 6, The Voice of Reason. So, if anyone needs a little recap of, like, what the Voice of Reasons are, they are, like, we're kind of going back and forth in time between, like, current, like, what is happening with Geralt at the Temple of Melitele with, like, Neneke and Iola, and then,
yeah,
Falwick and Talus, the knights, and the Prince Hereward that wants Geralt gone, and all this stuff. So that is, like, what's happening currently, but all of these stories we're hearing about is, like, things that happened in the past. So he's, like, kind of recapping things. So we're into the voice of reason. And Geralt takes his shirt off, of course. Woo! Because he's in a humid, hot cave that has plants everywhere. There are, like, chests, flower pots, trellises, and stakes that all have, like, plants on them. So it's, like, some humid greenhouse cave situation. Geralt notices that some are rare and are used in witcher's medicines and elixirs. And there are also aqueous plants in the center of the cave in, like, a little bit of water. There's an entire page listing out, like, the plants and their purposes, but, I don't think any of that is necessary to our story. If we come across any of them, I will describe them at the time.
Right.
There are only a few that I even recognized from, like, the Witcher 3 video game anyway, so a lot of them I didn't even know about.
Right.
The important thing here is that Nanake is in the cave, Geralt is shirtless, she is harvesting things, and Geralt is sitting on a bench. Nanake goes about her business for a while, tending to the plants, and then says Geralt's name to get his attention and asks him to stay a few more days. Now, Geralt has kind of been told by the knights to get out, because the prince doesn't want him on their land. So, Geralt tells her no, and that it is time for him to be on his way. Nanake says that he doesn't have to worry about, like, Prince Hereward, and that Dandelion can go break his neck on his own. She wants him to stay and is frustrated and asks if he's in such a haste because he's afraid that she'll find him there.
Ba-ba-bum.
Who is she?
Ah-da-da-da.
Geralt reluctantly admitted that she was right. He was worried about Yennefer.
Woo!
Him there. Which, I feel like there's been maybe one mention of her in this book so far, but this is the first time we hear anything about, like, Geralt and Yennefer. So, which, we know her from the games. But,
yes.
But this is the first time we've met her in the book. Mm-hmm. So, and the books take place quite a bit before the game, so their history goes way back. So Nanake says not to worry because Yennefer was there 2 months ago and wouldn't be back anytime soon because they fought, and no, they didn't fight about Geralt, because apparently Nanake thinks that that's what Geralt wants, is for just women to be fighting over him. She says that's what makes him like other men, and he's just egocentric because he thinks that, yeah, women are gonna fight over him. She says that Yennefer was mighty furious at him, that she could tell that Yennefer was furious at him. She doesn't know... Nanake says that, like, Geralt doesn't know Yennefer, and their relationship is really just superficial, that they could only see, like, consequences and not the causes, so, like, they don't really go a whole lot into this, but apparently, like, things happen and that they, like, see the after effects of what they have done, but they don't understand that it's, like, them that caused it. Don't really go into that, that's very vague. Geralt tries to get Nanake to admit that Yennefer came looking for a cure, but she won't admit to anything. Cure for what? Note that. Geralt gives Nanake several jewels and says that he would like her to keep them. Nanake asks if she is safe keeping them, and Geralt says no, he would like her to give a few to the temple as an offering and give the others to Yennefer when she visits next. So Geralt's trying to, like, bribe Yennefer with gems. Nanake says, yeah, that would just make Yennefer more mad at you. He whines a bit. And Nanake isn't going to put up with his shit, and she isn't his mother, is what she says. She also says that she will not be a messenger for him. And then we finally get to, like, the meat of the issue. So Yennefer is infertile, and she apparently wants children. We learn that most female sorceresses' ovaries atrophy, and it's irreversible due to just what they put their body through, basically.
Right.
Geralt says that there are exceptions to that rule, and Nanake says that Yennefer is not one of those exceptions. Geralt's like, I know sorcerers can raise the dead, so a little reverse atrophy should not be that big of a deal. Nanake is like, yeah, no, I've never heard of any reversing atrophy or regenerating of endocrine glands. She says to stop worrying about Yennefer and worry about, like, himself and the own changes that his body is going through. She says that he is making human mistakes from trying to act human. She tells him that he is not fully fit, and then she, like, goes into all of his issues, that he's reacting to elixirs badly, he has a rapid pulse, slow eye dilation, delayed reactions, and inability to get, like, simple signs correct, which are, like, the spells that he can do.
Right, the simple spells
yeah.
that he can do. Yep.
She emphasizes the need for a therapy and a trance before he can hit the road again. We finally get to the crux of the problem here, and Geralt says that, like, so the reason why Geralt doesn't want Iola to do that to him, like, because that's the whole, like, thing here, is there Iola's trying to get in his head and figure out what's going on. But he says that Iola might start to prophesize during the trance, and he really, like, does not want to know his future. Neneke then says, all right, well, let's go. But then he, like, asks how he met Yennefer, which is kind of an odd, it seems like kind of like a random, like, interjection, but the reason is because it leads into the next story.
Right.
He says that he and Dandelion didn't have anything for breakfast, and he decided to catch some fish. Neneke chimes in that instead of fish, he caught Yennefer. Geralt then says, I'm hungry, and that I'll tell the story after the supper. I might tell the story after supper. As they were leaving, Geralt asks about the plants, because half of the plants that grow there are extinct everywhere, but in the temple. And Neneke says that the crystal roof acts as a filter and nulls the lethal rays from the sunlight. Geralt is like, aren't these rays harming us as well? Shouldn't we be under a special roof too? And she says, yes, but it's too late for us. And that's kind of the end of this section. So we get on to the section titled The Last Wish.
Ba-da-ba-ba.
Which is what the book is named after.
Roll credits. Cool. Alcohol?
Yes. Tootsie Roll and Shot.
Yeah. The Last Wish. Section number one. Dandelion and Geralt are fishing, and they found a monster of a fish, apparently.
Sorry, I just want to... Dand?
It's just faster to type Dand.
Just Dand?
I don't know how to spell Dandelion. Okay, cool. Dandelion calls the fish the Leviathan, and the book describes this fish as being 12 feet long, apparently, which is ridiculous. They are dragging and pulling the fish, and their gloves are, you know, smoldering from the friction and
of the line. Like.
Yeah, right. Dandelion is describing to Geralt the amazing soup that they are going to make with this fish, and how much they will sell the skin for when the line inevitably snaps and the fish gets away. So they immediately start to blame each other for the mishap, but eventually Geralt just started to pack up so they can move on. Dandelion had a net and a rope and was catching things throughout the night. He pulled it in and found a bunch of stuff, including a genie bottle with a genie inside.
Is it
a gin?
Gin.
Yeah. Geralt laughed and called it an old pot. Dandelion said that there was a seal on the spigot and a wizard's mark on the seal. Geralt became curious and told Dandelion to stop, but instead he wanted his three wishes, and they scuffled for it. The bottle dropped in the sand, and red smoke pulsated out of the jar. The djinn was a 6-foot-wide distorted head with no nose, enormous eyes, and a beak. Dandelion demanded that he was the djinn's lord because he freed him. Geralt was sprinting to get his sword.
Do you want to say, that is, I obviously read the description of it, but I was really just picturing the, like, Jafar red genie from Aladdin.
Right.
That's what I'm picturing, because it's red, so that's what's in my head this whole time, right. So just want to make sure, let people know that that's an image that they can have in their head, too.
The big head snapped its beak, which wasn't really a beak, but something in the shape of a drooping, deformed, and ever-changing lips. I don't know, man. Geralt yelled at Dandelion and told him to run. Dandelion continued giving wishes to the djinn. The first wish, may Valdo Marx, troubadour of Cedri's, die of
epilepsy.
As soon as possible. The second wish he wanted was... there's apparently some count's daughter in Kelf called Virginia who refuses all advances, and so Dandelion wanted her to succumb to his advances and blah, blah, blah. And then he was about ready to give the third wish when two monstrous paws emerged from the horrible head and grabbed the bard by his throat. Geralt swiped his silver sword through the middle of the head. It exhaled smoke and rapidly doubled in diameter. The jaw flew open, snapped, and whistled, and the paws pulled the struggling Dandelion around and crushed him to the ground. Geralt crossed his fingers in a sign of ard and threw as much energy into it as he could. The boom pierced his ears and illuminated the area around him. The roar of the monster was deafening as it grew even larger, but it released the poet, sword up, circled, and waving its paws, flew away over the water. Geralt checked on Dandelion and then found the jar, and it was, and found the brass seal. And the brass seal is being described as decorated with the sign of a broken cross and a nine-pointed star. So the big djinn heads suspended above the river had become the size of a haystack, stretching out its paws, and the monster attacked. Geralt had no idea what to do, but he squeezed the seal in his fist and extended his hand to the monster. He screamed out an exorcism, apparently, something he has never done before because he doesn't believe in superstitions. The seal grew hot, and the giant head froze in the air. The head howled and dispersed into a pulsating bundle of smoke that flew off into the distance. Geralt ran to Dandelion and asked if he was dead. Dandelion could not respond. He struggled to make any noise. Geralt asked if he was okay again, and Dandelion grimaced and nodded, then immediately turned to his side, curled up, and vomited blood. Geralt cursed, and that is the end of Section 1. Alright, take us away, Captain.
Section 2. Geralt and Dandelion make it to a city with, like, Geralt supporting Dandelion, because Dandelion is not doing so hot. Mm-hmm. But the guards are like, wow, he's in bad shape, but they won't let them through. Because this city is, like, only open to traverse from sunrise to sunset, and it is after sunset. So, like, they can't even get inside. Geralt's like, we've been walking all day, and as you just mentioned, he is in bad shape. But the only way they can get by is to have a letter of safe conduct, or if they're a nobleman. So, seemingly on cue, Dandelion croaks and hurls up some more blood, and the guards are like, we're really sorry, but we can't afford to lose our job. They offer to dress his wounds, though, in a place called a barbican? I'm not sure what that is, if that's like some sort of barracks or something that they have for themselves.
Yeah.
And hope he can make it if he lays down for a few hours till morning. Geralt says, still asks for a healer, but the guards are like, no, dude, we cannot help. The best that we can do is get him warm and dress his wounds. And, like, they have to wait until dawn. So they apparently weren't the only ones that the guards gave refuge to until dawn, because when they went inside to this barbican, they met a few elves and a human. One of the elves, Tiridian, had, like, a coat of arms, like a nobleman, but he had not been allowed in because he doesn't really count as a nobleman, because he's not human, because they are racist against elves.
Yep. Racism, yeah.
Yeah, back to race issues with people viewing elves as lesser, even though, in my opinion, elves are way cooler than humans. That's just my opinion. They introduce themselves, except for Dandelion, who is, like, still out of commission. Tiridian asks what's wrong with him, because it looks like he was poisoned, potentially, and that Tiridian had some good medicine with him. Geralt give a brief synopsis of what happened to him. I'm not sure why Geralt here is all in caps, but it is.
Geralt!
I don't know why that was emphasized. They debate a bit on what it could have been, like, what was wrong with Dandelion, and... Oh, so they debate a bit on what it was that Dandelion had, like, come across. People are saying it's, like, it could be a djinn in a bottle, but Geralt and Tiridian both think that that might not be, like, exactly what it was that was trapped in the bottle.
Mm-hmm.
They do know that it is a magical injury, and so far all Geralt had given Dandelion was a pain-killing elixir. They gave him more, and one of the other elves recognizes Dandelion as a troubadour.
Mm-hmm.
Tiridian is like, yikes, that's not good, because it's his neck that's having the issues. So the muscles in his neck and throat are being attacked, and his vocal cords are changing, and it may be irreversible, and he may never be able to sing again.
Aww.
If he doesn't get help.
Right.
Someone suggests that they really need a wizard, and they need a wizard stat.
They're a wizard, Harry.
Yeah. Geralt's like, is there a wizard here in Rind, which is the town
that they showed up at?
Uh-huh. The knight says that magicians are hard to come by in Redania because there's a huge tax on spellcasting right now, which is interesting. I'd love to know the logistics behind taxing spells. Like, how do they know? Like, unless you could have, like, a wizard on your staff and they can, like, track when spells are being done. I just don't know all the logistics of the magic in this world.
Or if it's like
possible,
or if it's like whenever a spell is seen being cast by an official or something,
you
have to tax them. I don't know.
This is one of the towns that are zealous in their rule following, so that's why they're like closed at sunset and they don't. Yeah, and then they're taxing all of their wizards. So one of the elves says that there actually is a sorceress staying in town who is actively ignoring the rules in the council, and she's making bank because she's not paying their taxes, and all other magicians have been scared off, so there's no competition at all.
That works.
She is staying with some sort of ambassador, which grants her asylum because she is a guest in his house. But she has to stay in the house to stay under that protection. So basically, she's on house arrest, but she has tons of rich clients and can get whatever the heck she wants.
Right.
People that are angry about this are spreading all sorts of rumors about her to try and get her asylum revoked. Girl says he usually doesn't like to get involved in things like politics like this, mm-hmm. but that he has kind of no choice. Beau Barant is the merchant's name that this sorceress is staying with, and they also give Geralt some advice that the house is being watched, but that money opens up all doors. Yeah. Geralt asks what the sorceress' name is, and he is told that her name is Yennefer of, is it Vinderberg? Vinderberg?
Vinderberg, yeah.
Vinderberg.
Sure.
Yennefer of Vinderberg. That's if I even wrote that down right. And that is the end of section 2.
Nice.
And now that we know the name of the sorceress, Yennefer, we are going to end it here. And we will learn more about how Geralt met Yennefer next week.
Woo! Bye-bye!
As always, thanks so much for listening. We would love to connect with you on social media. Our Instagram is Boozy Books and Movies, and that is where we post all of the pictures of our drinks. Twitter, or X, is at Boozy Book Movie, where we post our episode updates. And we have a TikTok, which is also Boozy Book Movie. And our email is boozybooksandmovies@gmail.com if you want to reach out to us. Please rate and review us wherever you are listening, and don't forget to listen every Monday.